So it's trying to get people to just realize that there are other disc sports, and it actually helps you by playing the other ones. So as much as I run Ultimate Rob and I teach people about Ultimate, it's also trying to fit in elements of other disc sports.
Conversation with the VIPs of Ultimate Frisbee, unedited.
Hi, I'm Barry, and welcome back to episode 15 of You Talk Raw, the show where we get to talk to the coolest people about some of the most interesting aspects of our sport and our community. This episode, I have the huge pleasure of welcoming Ultimate Rob onto the show, and I'm really excited about this interview, and I hope you find it as interesting too. Rob McLeod is a disc sports competitor living in Alberta, Canada. He competes in Ultimate Frisbee, disc golf, dog disc, and overall flying disc competitions. Rob currently holds 9 world records, which includes 2 Guinness World Records, and has won 3 world championships. And Rob also founded UltimateRob.com in 2009. I'll put links to his stuff in the show notes for this episode on the website. That's episode 15 on UtalkRaw.com. Hey, Rob.
How you doing, Barry?
Great, thanks. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today.
Sorry, thanks for having me and staying up late. I know it's a little earlier here than it is there, so.
Yeah, it's the time difference is amusing. So to start us off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background and your focuses and the stuff that you're doing?
Sure. So I first heard about Ultimate in high school. One of my friends, actually, just a couple of his buddies, brought it back from university, and I remember playing a game or two in a summer, but at the time I was playing, hockey and soccer and all other sports, so it wasn't really something on my mind to pick it up. And I saw it again a couple years later from a high school teacher, and again, same kind of idea. We thought it was cool, but you're in high school, you have all these aspirations of maybe going to college and playing hockey for college teams and things like that. So it just kind of falls to the side. But I first got into Frisbee, I'd say, in the fall of 2000 when I went to university. And before I ever played Ultimate, I learned to throw. So I learned to throw probably for about 8 months. And it became, an escape from studying for me. And at the time in 2000, 2001, I'm not sure how many people remember the internet back then, but there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't Facebook, there wasn't Twitter. There really wasn't a lot of resources for learning. And I ended up finding a couple websites that had a few grips, and that's where I started. And I would just go in a field with one disc and just start throwing, just learning. And for me, it just captivated me because playing other sports, a ball moves the same way all the time, pretty much, whereas a disc flies and it can do all these cool things. So for me, I was hooked immediately and then found out about Ultimate the next fall. And haven't looked back since. It's kind of become my passion since then. In 2009, I decided to start posting articles and videos teaching people how to play Ultimate better, because there really wasn't a progression online in the 9 years since I had been playing Ultimate. I thought, well, if I put something out there, sort of draw on everything I've learned, because the way that I learned was from other people. And I thought it would be great if I could sort of bring that collectively together and help teach other people. And I knew it also helped me become a better player by teaching others. A couple years later, after some people had seen a few of my videos, they contacted me to teach them how to throw for their dogs. From there, I get into dog disc competitions. A friend of mine also introduced me to disc golf, which I had played with an Ultimate disc, but I'd never actually played with golf discs. And someone else found me on YouTube and invited me to the World Overall Flying Disc Championships 2 years ago. So in the last 2 years, my throws have improved more than they did in the previous 12 years. And so I'm just basically trying to pass that knowledge on to people, saying that there's so much more out there than just Ultimate. I've had the pleasure of meeting Jim Palmieri, who was one of the founders of disc golf, Dan Stark Roddick, who played in the first college Ultimate game and wrote Spirit of the Game. And I've done interviews with him as well as Jim. I've met John Kirkland, who toured with the Harlem Globetrotters in 1975 for 200 days doing freestyle frisbee. And I've just been very, very blessed to meet all these amazing guys who are, you know, basically the founders of our sport, and to sort of talk to them and hear the stories. I really want to bring back what Frisbee used to be all about, which was an all-inclusive thing. So you'd have ultimate, you'd have disc golf, you'd have dog disc, competing all in the same area. Whereas now they're very much separate. So for me, we call it the ageless game. You can play any disc sport your entire life, pretty much from the time you're 2 years old, when you first start learning to throw Frisbee, to the time you're 90, when, you know, you're playing disc golf, just anywhere you want, essentially. So that's kind of my background to, it wasn't very short, but the long winded version of it. So
that's really interesting. And we were chatting just before I started recording there. And one of the things you said was, ultimate players, and as a community, we pride ourselves in being very friendly and very welcoming. But then I think the word you used is snobbish about some of these other discs, disciplines and disc sports. So is that something you see a lot? Is that something you feel passionate about?
Yeah, and I was one of those people who, when I first started playing ultimate, I would play disc golf with an ultimate disc because I thought, you know, why would I throw anything else? Why would I throw a golf disc? It's going to hurt my throw. And then my friend introduced me to disc golf, and I realized, you know, if you want to become better at throwing, throw golf discs. Then I get into dog disc, and I realized, you know, throwing a disc that's 70 grams lighter will help your throws as well. And so because Frisbee is all about angles, by doing these other disc sports, you're really playing with those angles, and you're actually playing with them to an extreme that you don't really ever do in ultimate. And so for me, it's not just that it's better for your game, but it's just a lot of fun. And I totally get where people are coming from. When I was playing ultimate, it was 4 or 5 days a week. That's, you know, you lived ultimate, you breathed ultimate, you ate ultimate, and you slept ultimate. Like, that was all you did. And that's totally fine. I'm not trying to take people away from ultimate. I'm just trying to get them to realize that there's other disc sports out there. You know, if it's in the wintertime, you don't have 14 people to go play a game of ultimate. You can go outside and play disc golf. You know, you can go outside and throw it to yourself, you know, doing self-caught flight. But there's this whole world out there that a lot of people don't know about. And I only found out about it 2 years ago. So I really want to try and expose people to that and just share my experiences with them, which is kind of what my passion has become as well.
And I find it really interesting that, you know, it's only in the last 2 years that you've discovered or really got involved in some of these other disc sports. Because when you describe the history of you starting and you spent 8 months just throwing, there's a nice symmetry to that, where you're starting off just throwing and then you're going through an intense period of playing ultimate, and now you're coming back to this broader range of throwing Frisbees in hundreds of different ways. When you started out, just to go back to the very, when you said you just learned to throw, just yourself throwing, was that something because you wanted to play ultimate, or was it just, hey, I found a Frisbee, I want to throw it?
So the way that it worked at this university is they had what's called Clubs Week, and I'm sure a lot of other colleges have it, where you can go and find out about the different clubs. So they had a university ultimate Frisbee club, and they were selling ultimate discs. And I had, like I said, I'd seen it a couple of times in high school, hadn't really thought much of it. But there was a disc, I thought the disc was kind of cool, ended up buying one. But because I lived outside of the city, I would only come in to the school for school every day and then go back, you know, home at the end of the day. So it wasn't really realistic for me to come in for practices because I was in engineering, so it was a pretty intense study program. So for me to make an hour out of my day to go in a field and throw was pretty easy. I just walked in the backyard. So although I knew about ultimate in the back of my mind, it was just about throwing and just an escape from studying, basically. You know, sports have been my entire life. I needed to keep active, and I would go for runs. I would try to go for a run every morning. And then once I got home from school, I would, you know, go throw the disc. So yeah, for 8 months, it was just throwing, because like I said, back then there was no YouTube. So I wasn't able to watch videos and get excited about ultimate and think about, you know, oh, I'd love to do this, or I'd love to do that. There wasn't anything like that. So all I had was my disc.
Mm. And then the interesting thing that you said then is when you started producing, you know, just writing things online about teaching people to be better ultimate players or better throwers, and then the YouTube videos that you do, the motivation for, I'm really interested in talking a little bit about your motivation for doing that. And is that something that people were asking you about, or is that something that just sort of, you know, you were just interested in starting to document some of these skills?
My first year university as well, you know, every student gets free web space online.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, because I was away from home, I went half, you know, all the way across Canada basically for my first year university. So I was away from my friends and family. So I just threw up a website and just kind of dabbled. It was trying to keep them up to date on what I was doing. And as I started getting more into Ultimate, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, I started posting links to things that I'd find online, you know, pictures and videos. And I would just share as much as I could with people because I thought it was awesome and I wanted them to see how awesome it was. And so I kind of had that experience with making websites. When I ran an Ultimate team for a couple years in college, 2003 to 2005, and managed our website, built a website, everything like that. So I had experience with websites and I knew how easy it was. And I thought, you know, why not put something up? I've been teaching since I was probably in grade 5. So I've taught figure skating, golf, hockey, soccer, swimming, you know, pretty much any sport, you name it. And so when I teach, I draw on elements of all of these sports. And so for me, I have always felt that Ultimate's not that different from any other sport. And there's really good interview with, well, it's actually a panel discussion from the Ultimate Coaches and Players Conference a month ago. And Brody Smith actually makes that point that Ultimate is not that different from other sports. And I totally agree with them. But what is different is the Frisbee. But at its core element, if you're teaching somebody how to throw, you know, you can draw on track and field, or you can draw on golf, or you can draw from squash or tennis, because there's many elements that are the same. And so for me, just because there's nothing out there, I thought, well, why don't I do it? You know, it's easy enough for me to do. I enjoyed making websites, so I just started putting stuff up. And when I first started, I thought I was going to be, you know, the site that everyone would go to for all the pictures, all the videos, all the articles, links, everything. And probably about a month in, I realized that wasn't going to work very well because I didn't have that time. And so I mainly switched my focus to just articles about teaching. And so the videos just kind of grew from there. And as, you know, as I've grown in my game, as I've gotten better technology, I've updated my teaching methods and I've updated the video quality. And I actually have to update a lot of my videos this summer just because as I've been running clinics the last couple of years, I've learned different ways to teach, you know, better ways to teach. And so I want my videos to reflect that.
Hmm. It's also interesting. I know that there's a couple on ultimaterob.com. You have you often have sort of guest posts from other people, and now and again. Is that something, or how does that come about? And who, you know, can you tell us a little bit about this, where that content comes from?
Yeah, have you ever heard of the Huffington Post?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, I kind of use that analogy where it's a combination of people. So although it has Ultimate Rob on the title, it really is a collection of posts from a lot of amazing people and players. And I think the first person who was ever featured as a guest was Melissa Whitmer from mm-hmm. Melissa's Ultimate Fitness. And we started talking and, you know, she was working on some ideas for her businesses and projects. And what she was focused on was the biomechanics, which I have no background in at all. And so I welcomed her ideas and I said, you know, if you want to contribute to my site, I'd love to have it because there's no way I'm going to be able to write that. And so it's kind of gone on with that mentality that if there's a topic that I can't speak to or somebody else has, you know, more experience in, I would love to share their knowledge. And so it's really become a collective of people with a lot of different backgrounds. Some of my most popular posts actually come from a friend of mine, Mandy Wintink in Toronto, Canada, and she has, you know, backgrounds in psychology and neuroscience and is just very, very, very intelligent person and has some great articles about, you know, the psychology of Ultimate, which I could speak to a little bit, but not nowhere near the detail that she goes into. So for me, it's really evolved into that where it's become a collection of that. And, you know, Skyde Magazine is similar to that, mm-hmm. except they sort of take more of an approach of storytelling and, you know, sharing experiences and things like that. Whereas I try and keep mine very focused on learning and teaching. And so I've actually had some people email me and asking about writing a blog post or a guest post on Alt Rob, and I forwarded them on to Elliot at Sky because I felt like it'd be a better fit there. And I want to support anybody, you know, Rise Up videos. I share those videos. I don't feel like we're competitive. You know, they do something, I do something. I love that they have the time. They took the time to make that. So for me, it's just trying to make sure that people in the Ultimate community know all the resources and have access to all of the resources that they can. And so that's kind of where that mentality, I guess, comes from, to share topics from other people as well.
Mm. I think that policy of inclusiveness is really interesting and makes your site even more valuable. One of the reasons I like going back to read it. So the videos, just to touch quickly on the videos in your YouTube channel, is that something? Do you create those videos based on experiences you have or requests, or you know, is there a grand plan of things you like of content you'd like to produce and things you'd like to teach, or how does all that come about?
So it's definitely been a learning process. In the beginning, I sort of focused on the basics, you know, how to throw backhand, how to throw forehand, grips, things like that. And then as I've been hired by some people to run clinics, I've really had to hone my skills to sort of be really direct and more concise on teaching. And based on that, it's sort of developed to where I am now, where I want to sort of go back and look at the videos I have and really start developing some series where it's a progressive series and you can start at the beginning and work through it, or you can just watch one video in the middle of the series and still find value in it. And so for me, that's kind of where those have come from, is not necessarily making like a Rise Up series where you have to, you know, sort of watch the whole thing. It's like a 2-minute video or a 1-minute video or a 30-second video can sometimes be helpful, because there's a lot of people out there who've been playing for 4 or 5 years and need is a quick little tip to fix their throw. And so if I can post a quick little tip, then that's what I'd like to do. I'm also, this is sort of the first announcement that I've made publicly about it. I'm going to be sending out a press release soon, but Savage Ultimate and I have partnered up, and so they're going to be my exclusive supplier of merchandise. And with our agreement, I have to wear their gear in all of my videos. So I have quite a few videos planned, just based on the fact that I have a brand with my new logo. I have, you know, Ultimate Rob branded clothing to wear now. So that was kind of what was holding me back from doing a lot more, was having that consistent branding, just because, you know, with Brody Smith, people like that, it's easy to know who it is because his name's there and his picture's there. So I think a lot of the struggles that I've had was people don't really actually know who Ultimate Rob is. And so I've had to try and work on developing an identity with that. So in the beginning with my videos, I didn't really think about that. It was just, you know, put videos up and if people find it, they find it. But I really want to develop that brand where people know that I'm about everything, you know, Frisbee. But I also have videos that, you know, I like to teach people how to, you know, play the game better.
Mm. I love the fact that I've got a little scoop there. that's awesome. So you, it's interesting that you are consciously thinking about the not just the content and the quality of the content, but how it's presented and the brand around it. I think that's something that particularly in the smaller communities, so I, obviously North America, there's a much larger playing population, but even there, it's quite often you see how people sort of approach it in a little bit amateurish. Maybe that's too strong, but I like the fact that you're doing it in a structured and a little bit more quote unquote professional approach.
That comes from two areas, I guess. One is the fact that I work full-time in marketing. And so whenever I post a video, it's always about making sure the title is correct. It says what the video is about, having a good description. So a lot of times there's videos online that people post with a title that just is about getting views, but it's actually not what the video is about. And the other side is because I'm a Frisbee purist, because I love this game so much, and because I've met people who have grown the game, anything that I put out there has to be accurate. So you know, for example, if I'm out training for a world record, then I'm going to say world record training. But I'm not going to say world record attempt because it's not a world record attempt. But world record attempt would get more hits than world record training would. Mm-hmm. So very conscious of that, because whenever I go to these competitions, these guys, they've been doing it for years, and they have, these guys have set world records. They've pushed the world records. So when I'm around these guys, I want to know that I'm doing things for the right reasons, not just to try and get more fans and more views. Because I think when you start doing that, that's when you start selling out. That's when you start, you know, compromising your values or your brand. And I never want to get in that position. So I try and have control of everything I do. That's one reason I haven't done trick shots, because for me, the amount of time that it would take to actually do trick shot videos, there's a lot of other things that I'd rather be doing, you know, like writing content or traveling to competitions or doing things like that. So I'm working on, you know, ideas of how to get more viewers, because instructional videos aren't meant to have a million viewers, but I have plans to make videos that are a lot more fun and engaging, but they're, again, done on my terms, because if I don't truly believe in the product that I'm putting out, it's, people are going to feel that and they're not going to get behind it. So I want to make sure that I'm putting out a good product, but I also want to make it fun and I want to make it engaging for people. So that's kind of where that comes in, I guess.
And how much time and energy goes into producing all this online content over and above your own sort of playing and competing?
As much as I can fit in. I'd love to have a videographer. That's something I've been trying to find, because, you know, for me to go in a field with a camera and a tripod, I can only do so much. It's hard for me to do the videos I want to do. The nature of Frisbee is also tough, because we throw them so far that it's really hard to film the entire flight. So I'm really looking to find people that, you know, love video and really want to take on a project of their own and make it their own. That would help me produce a ton more videos, because I have the content in my head, but when I have to do the shooting and the editing, it takes up a lot of time and kind of limits how many videos I can put out. But as far as the online content goes, it really helps when I have other people providing content. You know, I try and update my website at least once a week. Lately, it's been 2 to 3 times a week. And I try to not post too much. I try to not put too much stuff up. But it's been interesting, just with the nature of social media and still driving everything through my website. I think it's great to have that base, because it's easy for people to go back and find that content. But, you know, as I grow and as I learn, you know, I start doing things a little differently on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And it's just always about trying to keep up and just trying to stay current and relevant. So that's kind of the biggest thing. But it definitely takes up a big chunk of time. But, you know, I realize that Ultimate is the largest disc sport in the world, and I love all the disc sports, but in order to sort of keep my brand going, I have to be supporting the Ultimate community as much as I can.
One of the things I'm trying to do with U-Talk Raw is that much more sort of factual and less newsy. So that I really connect with what you're trying to do there, and the actual factual stuff that, as you say, is less sexy and therefore attracts maybe a smaller audience, but the value those people are getting from it is so much more, I imagine.
And I think too that there's sort of two markets of people. There's, I like to say, the 15-year-old kid market, who, you know, just devour everything online and follow anybody. They, you know, it's crazy. But then there's also the coaches and the captains and the team organizers. And those are the people that I'd rather connect with, because they're the ones that have access to all of those 15-year-olds. And so in order to touch the kids, as great as it is to put out fun videos, I think it's also important to put out foundational content that the teachers and the instructors can use to help teach those kids. And so I think that's kind of where my target is. And just like you mentioned, it, you know, it may not be as many views, but it's, I think, reaching a more important demographic.
Yeah. I could talk about that for hours. Keep going into that. But I'm aware that sort of just as we're winding down the last few minutes, one of the things that I'd like to circle back and just talk about quickly is, so you have 9 world records, and which includes 2 Guinness World Records. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, just to finish off, tell us a little bit about what those are and how that happened?
Yeah, so my first record, I guess, was with Davey, which is the whippet that I compete with in dog disc competitions. And the first time I ever really competed with him was at a Worlds qualifier where I'm throwing distance. And so I threw a disc 92 yards that he caught. And I didn't think much of it until I checked out the website a couple weeks later and noticed that we had held the current record. So it kind of got me thinking, you know, it's like, this is actually kind of neat. This is a great way to get exposure for the sport, because that's ultimately what it's about, is trying to get more exposure for it. So unless you're getting on SportsCenter or, you know, television or things like that, how do you get the word out? And from there, I was actually found on YouTube by a television station in China who invited me over to attempt a Guinness World Record. I didn't set the record on TV, but a couple months later when I was back in Canada, I did it again and set it then. And then since then, I've sort of been on this quest to look at all the records that are out there and challenge them and take them down. You know, I would love to own all the records. Part of it is that competitive spirit inside of me. Part of it is pushing the records and just seeing what's possible with the discs we have nowadays. And just because there's not a lot of people in overall who are going after some of these records, like the distance record or the self-caught flight record or things like that. And then the third part is getting more exposure for the sport. You know, it's setting a world record, training for a world record, putting out a press release. It's easy to get on TV and radio and newspaper, and it's easy to get people talking about the sport. And in the 2 years since I've been doing these records and competitions, I've really seen the people that I've talked to in the media become more comfortable speaking about Frisbee itself, and they're more knowledgeable about it as well. So it's I hope that that's been, you know, in part due to some of my efforts. I realize that there's a lot of other people doing a lot of work as well, and it's exciting to see, you know, Ultimate being on SportsCenter, Ultimate being on television. So, you know, I want to keep going with that. And for me, the best way that I know how right now is world records, because it's fun. And it's just, it's a lot of fun to train for and to showcase the sport.
Outstanding. Well, unfortunately, that's us running out of time. Thank you so much for giving up your a little bit of your day to come and chat to us today. And especially for sharing that little little scoop.
No problem.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Barry.
Cause